السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمد عباده الذاكرين الشاكرين، حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما، ولا تجعل فينا ولا معنا شقيا ولا مطرودا ولا محروما يا رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله we continue on the Islamic history sessions, and the last time we spoke of how the 30 to 40,000 Muslim soldiers were able to conquer the stronghold of the Byzantine Empire in Ash-Sham, in what is Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and Palestine today, and to make the entire territory, Muslim territory, and how Heraclius escaped Syria into Asia Minor, and he went to Constantinople, and he looked upon Syria, and he said, farewell Syria, a farewell with no meeting after that shall be. And after that, the Muslims basically controlled, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the area of Palestine, and that was about the year 17th of Hijrah, that is around 639 in our during according to the Christian calendar. However, Amr ibn al-As had suggestions and correspondence with Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Faruq, may Allah be pleased with both of them, and he suggested that he should go down where he was in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds or Ilya, as it was called at that time, and he should go down and finish off the Byzantine armies in Egypt and in Libya. And Amr ibn al-As had around 8,000 soldiers with him left in Jerusalem that were ready to fight. Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, gave them the permission, the reasons to advance to North Africa at a time where Muslim armies were really spread very thin. Now, we mentioned last time that while these conquests are taking place in Syria, in Ash-Sham, there were many armies heading into Iraq and where today's is Iran, into Persia, into the Persian Empire, which was a force to be reckoned with, which was one of the main two empires of that time, the superpowers, if you will. And why open another front? Why even go into a third front? Why the Muslims already fighting in the north on the Syrian Turkey borders into the Byzantine Empire, and yet in the east while they are fighting the Persian? Why open a third front into the west? And here is why. The big Byzantine forces in Egypt and Libya posed a threat to the new Muslim territories that, as we said, Muslims were spread thin, and had they not attacked, they would be attacked. And if they not protect themselves that way, then they would be an easy prey, one city and one fortress after the other. The other reason is wealth of Egypt. Egypt is a very wealthy territory. As we know, the Nile runs through Egypt, and it's very fertile agricultural ground. And the wealth of Egypt used to go and supply Constantinople with a lot of produce and a lot of money. And that wealth was very important to the Byzantine Empire. And to control that flow of wealth would weaken the enemy, which are the Byzantine. So that's another strategic lesson, a strategic reason why they should go west and try to control Egypt. The Coptic, the Christians of Egypt, and the Coptic Church separated from the Catholic Church very early on, since the early days of 325 of the Nicaea Convention. And there was a difference in belief between the Catholics and the Coptic people. And the Roman, the Byzantine, is an Eastern Eastern Catholic empire. And they were abusing the Copt. They were subduing them, and they were taxing them heavily, and they were trying to force their religion upon them. So there is a lot of resentment of the Copt, of the Coptic people, against the rulers, the Byzantine. So Muslim fairness and justice has already, the news of that has already reached the land of Egypt. And the Copts were secretly hoping that the Muslims would come. And they would free them like the Orthodox were freed in Palestine from the Byzantine oppression. So the Coptic, there was a lot of support for a Muslim invasion, from a Muslim conquest of Egypt. And Amr thought that that would be the perfect time to walk into this not-so-hostile territory, at least among people. If he can take care of the Byzantine rulers and armies, then the people would be quite hospitable to the advancement of the Muslim army. The fourth reason is absolutely the first reason. It's the last but not least. Is the duty to spread Islam, just like they spread it in Syria and Iraq and Persia and everywhere else Muslim armies were, and free those who cannot freely accept the religion of Islam for themselves. For all of these reasons, Umar ibn al-Khattab wrote to Amr ibn al-As, and he said, "Anindub an-nasa ila al-masiri ma'aka ila Misr." He said, "Gather people and march towards Egypt." And after that, Amr ibn al-As marched into Egypt, and he started with the city of Rafah. And the city of Rafah is currently in the Gaza Strip, in the Palestinian land, in Palestinian territories. And the next city to that on the Egyptian side today is Al-Arish. These two cities were there at the time of Amr ibn al-As. And the people of Rafah greeted Amr ibn al-As and the Muslim army. There was no fighting, there was a lot of cheering. There was a lot of advancing for the upcoming freedom that the Muslim brought with them. So there were no fighting in Rafah. And then to Al-Arish, again, the Muslims were being received with the cheering of the people of the two cities. And then they had to cross the Sinai Desert down and across the strait, which is today the Suez Canal. Of course, that was not there before. This was dry land. And they crossed that towards the land of Egypt. There's a fortress on the way. The fortress called Farma. The Farma is a fortress that the Roman had, so to speak, at the gates of Egypt to defend invaders from the east. And the invaders from the east did not used to be the Muslims, used to be the Persian. The Persian tried many times to get into Egypt. The wealth of Egypt is always very luring for the invaders, and the Persian tried more than once and succeeded in sometimes into coming into Egypt. So the first place over there was a fortress called Al-Farma. And that's where the first real battle of the conquest of Egypt took place in this area. That was around the year 18th of Hijrah, 640. Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, and the rest of the Muslim army advanced toward Al-Farma, and they first met the protectorate of Al-Farma, which is the Byzantine army. There was a large fortress, and the Byzantine took refuge and protection behind the tall walls, the high walls of that fortress. And the Muslims besieged Al-Farma. Now, with Amr ibn al-As, remember, there's 8,000 fighters. I mean, if you think about the amount, the numbers and that the Muslims had to fight with in Syria, there were at least 30 to 40,000. With Amr ibn al-As to advance into the entire area of North Africa, he only had about 8,000 with him. And he knew that behind the walls of Al-Farma, there were multiple numbers, and the historians did not report how many were in Al-Farma, but there were at least more than one-fold the number of the Muslims. However, Muslims besieged the Farma, Al-Farma. And the siege of Al-Farma, as reported, lasted for months. It was not days. It was for months. And what the Muslims will do is they camped a little bit away from the walls, and they would have skirmishes with the Byzantine every now and then during these months of siege. And up till one time, the Romans tried to attack, to launch a major attack against the Muslim army. And Amr ibn al-As had a special trick where he was able with his army to turn around them and got to the walls and got to the gates before the Byzantine Roman army got to the gates, and the Muslim entered al-Farma. And there was very bad fighting. The fighting was very fierce until Amr ibn al-As, as reported in history and especially in the book of Fatih Masr, as written by an author called Subhi Nada from Egypt. He said, Amr ibn al-As had a speech, Ya Ahl al-Islami wal-Iman, O people of Islam and faith, Ya Hamalat al-Qur'an, the people of Qur'an, he was trying to let them hold tight, like the Muslims do in their fierce battle. Ya Ashab Muhammad, O companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isbiru sabr al-Rijal, be patient, be endurance, as men do. وَثْبِتُوا بِأَقْدَامِكُمْ, let your feet be steadfast. وَأَشْرِعُ الرِّمَاحِ, take out your spears. وَاسْتَتِرُوا بِالدُّرُقِ, and protect yourself with your shields. وَالْزَمُوا الصَّمْتِ, do not speak much except for the mentioning of Allah. إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ, he said, keep your heart strong with the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how they came into the gates of Al-Farma, and the Farma fortress fell into the Muslims, and Amr then gave his speech in Al-Farma. He said, أيها الناس حمدا لله, praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الذي جعل لجيش المسلمين الغلبة والظفر, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that granted victory into the Muslims. والله عظيم الحمى بالإسلام, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed protects Islam. And then he said, ولكن إياكم أن تظنوا, they were very happy with the victory of Al-Farma, because they were there for several months in front of this important fortress. And he said, but do not think that أَنَّ كُلَّ مَا نَرْغَبُ فِيهِ قَدْ تَحَقَّقْ, that all that we wish for has been achieved. وَأَن تُخْدَعُوا بِهَذَا النَّصْرِ, he said, do not let this victory fool you. Do not be deceived by this victory of Al-Farma. He said, فَلَا يَزَالُ الطَّرِيقُ أَمَامُنَا وَعَرًا شَاقًا, he said, it is still a very difficult road, and it's going to still be a very rocky road into the complete victory. وَالْمُهِمَّةَ الَّتِي وَكَّلَنَا لَهَا لَهَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he said, the mission that were given to us by Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab, is still not being accomplished, and that is to protect to take over Egypt and protect the territories from advancement of the Roman, of the Byzantine. And then he said, وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالطَّاعَةِ, he said, I recommend to you patience and obedience to your leaders. فَسَيَعْلَمُ الْقَوْمُ هُنَا, this is how important it is. He said, فَسَيَعْلَمُ الْقَوْمُ هُنَا أَنَّنَا جُنُودُ السَّلَامِ, he said, the people here will know that we are soldiers of peace. We did not come to bring ruin and destruction and slavery into the people. We are here to bring peace and freedom to the people of Egypt. The second major fortress in their way was a fortress called Bilbis. And in Bilbis, the Byzantine had a major force in that fortress. And Amr ibn al-As got to Bilbis, and the skirmishes started between the Muslims and the Roman protective army of Bilbis. And then Amr ibn al-As asked for the leaders of the fortress, and at that time they were called Abu Maryam and Abu Maryam. He said, let these two leaders come out. Then the two leaders came out to negotiate with Amr ibn al-As, and he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, our Prophet told us about Egypt. And he said, and this is in Muslim, this hadith is narrated in Sahih Muslim, the chapter of Fada'il al-Sahaba. He said, Amr ibn al-As, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَفْتَحُونَ مِصْرِ, He said, the Prophet ﷺ said that you will conquer Egypt. You will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you Egypt in conquest. وَهِيَ أَرْضٌ يُسَمَّى فِيهَا الْقِرَاطِ. He said, the Prophet ﷺ was given him a sign. They did not, you know, when Arabs of Mecca used to travel, they traveled either to Syria or to Yemen. But they did not have much trading with Egypt. Not many of them knew what Egypt was and where Egypt was and what to do with Egypt. But he said, the Prophet ﷺ gave him a sign. He said, وَهِيَ أَرْضٌ يُسَمَّى فِيهَا الْقِرَاطِ. What that means is the people of Egypt know the scale very well. They have measurements, good units of measurements. And we know that that is something that inherited from the old Egyptians and the pharaohs and all of that. They have a very accurate scaling system. And the Prophet ﷺ told them that that's the type of this land. And then he said, ﷺ, فَإِذَا فَتَحْتُمُوهَا. And then when you are victorious in Egypt, فَأَحْسِنُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. He said, treat its people well. Treat the people of Egypt very well. فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ ذِمَّةً وَصِهْرًا أَوَّ رَحِمًا. As the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, they are people of ذِمَّة, which is they are people of the book, that we are to protect them if they are under our rule. We have to treat them well. And then he said, they are your relatives. Yeah, you have a relationship with them. Where did that relationship come from? What did this hadith mean? Remember Ibrahim alayhi salam. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, his wife, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. His wife, Sarah, wanted him to have children when he did not have children. And he married, she gave him her servant in marriage, who is Hajar. Well, Hajar is Egyptian. And Hajar is the mother of Ismail. And Ismail is the father of the Arab, of Quraysh. So he said that they are your uncles, that these people, they have relationship with you. Keep that relationship and treat them well. And this is what Amr ibn al-As was telling these two leaders of Bilbis. So they looked at each other and they said, قَرَابَةٌ بَعِيدًا. This is at least a distant relation. This is a distant blood relation. It goes to Ibrahim, I mean, long, long time ago. And he said, لَا يَصِلُ مِثْلُهَا إِلَّا الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. This is صِلَةُ رَحِمْ. This is a connection. Recognizing the relation, the blood relation, is enjoined upon in our religion. And they said, this type of sila, it's only for the prophets, only for people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would recognize a relation that is that ancient, that's old. And they said, well, give us your vows. Give us your vows that you will not attack until we come to you. And Amr said, مِثْلِي لَا يُخْدَى. Don't pull any tricks on me. I'm not the right person to trick. Don't tell me that you're gonna go and come back with thousands and thousands of soldiers. Because they can ask for a lot of help from Babylon, which we will see, it's actually northern of this area right here, of this dot. They said, no, don't fool me. You have 3 days. You have only 3 days to come back to me with an answer. They said, Zidna, give us more. He said, one more. You have 4 days, then you come back with your answer about, we will treat you well. Our Prophet ﷺ said that we should treat you well, but you have to surrender. So they went, and they went to the Muqawqas and Al-Artabun. Now, Al-Muqawqas, as we studied in the Seerah, when we were doing the Seerah sessions, he is the great of Qubt. He is the head of the Qubt, of the people of Egypt. But above him was an Artabun. We know Artabun was a title given to the Roman, to the Byzantine governor of the territory. So for that, for Egypt, there were two main men, Al-Muqawqas, who leads the Coptic people, and the Artabun, who would lead the Byzantine, and who is in charge of the armies. So they went and they started telling the Muqawqas and Al-Artabun what's going on. So Al-Artabun said, we have to fight them. And they started the fight around Bilbis without waiting for Amr ibn al-As and his offered peace. And after that, Al-Artabun was defeated in the battles around Bilbis, and he escaped with his army to Alexandria. And then when the Muslims entered Bilbis, they found the daughter of Al-Muqawqis in Bilbis, and she was on a visit to this area, and her name was Armanusa. And the history reports, and this is in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, that she has her servant, and her name was Barbara, with her. And she was escaping from Babylon to Bilbis because the Artabun and her father has agreed that Armanusa should marry Constantine, son of Heraclius, that they will force Armanusa to marry the son of Caesar, and his name was Constantine. So she escaped with her servant to Bilbis away from this marriage that she did not want. And when the Muslim army walked into Bilbis, they were capturing people in the palaces, and she fell as a prisoner into the Muslim army. Now, she was a prisoner at that time. We know when they captured women, they are to be given as slaves to the conqueror army, and that's just the rule of the time. So Amr ibn al-As gathered the Muslims and the Sahaba about what to do with Armanusa. And he said, she is the daughter of Al-Muqawqis, and now she's the princess of Egypt, if you will. And now she's a prisoner with the Muslim army. And he said, Amr ibn al-As, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Ar-Rahman, is there a reward for good deed, but a good deed, but a good reward? And they said, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? They said, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلَ الْمُقَوْقِسُ هَدِيَّةً إِلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَأَرَى أَنْ نَبْعَثَ إِلَيْهِ بِابْنَتِهِ وَجَمِيعِ مَنْ أَسَرْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَوَارِهَا. He said, the Muqawqis, her father, sent a gift to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the gift was Maria al-Qubtiyya. She was al-Muqawqis. When he got the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not respond, but he sent, if you remember, Maria and a mule to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sent them gifts. And from Maria, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given his son Ibrahim. So Amr ibn al-As is reminding them. He said, this is a man, her father, is a man that did good, and he treated our Prophet with respect, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So should we not reward that goodness, that good that came out of him by good deeds that we return to him even after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam death? And I said, I see that we send her, Armanusa, and her servants, and everybody in her entourage, atba'um, everybody with her, and their money. Everything we take out of their money and send her back to Al-Muqawqis. And that's what happened. And history reports that she was sent with all her jewels or her servants back to her father. And Barbara was with her servant, on their journey from Bilbis to Babylon and then to Alexandria. But she was taken by an Arab, by the Muslim soldiers. She was guarded to be given back to her father by the Muslim soldiers. And Barbara looked around and she was afraid, and she said, إِنَّ الْعَرَبَ يُحِيطُونَ بِنَا مِنْ كُلِّ جَانِبٍ. She said to her master, to Armanusa, she said, I see Arabs around us everywhere. Aren't you afraid on this journey that we are just surrounded by Arabs? And then Armanusa said this famous saying that was written in the history books, and she said, إِنِّي آمَنُ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَعِرْضِي فِي خَيْمَةِ الْعَرَبِي وَلَا آمَنُ عَلَى نَفْسِي فِي قَصْرِ أَبِي. She said, I am safer and I feel more protected among meaning the Muslims, or of course they were all Arabs at that time. He said, I am well protected and I feel safe among the Arabs, but I don't feel as safe in the palace of my father. What that means, in the palace of her father, she was to be forced to marriage to Constantine, son of Heraclius. But within the Arabs, she was not forced to be taken as a servant, and she was brought back to her father with all her jewelry and all her entourage. The next step was to advance to one of the most important fortresses at the foot of the delta. And it's close to a historical place called Heliopolis in Egypt, which is also close to a place called Memphis. And that is on the west side of the Nile. Heliopolis was on the eastern side of the Nile. So there is a great fortress called Babylon. And that the fortress of Babylon was very important to the Byzantine, and in that they had a lot of protection. So on the way to Babylon, Amr ibn al-As advanced, and the Byzantines advanced a lot of their forces trying to stop this Islamic danger that is coming to take the rest of Egypt. And at the shores of the Nile, there was an area that is called Dinin. And in that, there was the famous battle of Dinin. At that time, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Amr ibn al-As has already sent to Umar ibn al-Khattab after the two important battles of Farma and Bilbis. Amr ibn al-As realized that his force is not that great and the task needs more. So he called upon Umar ibn al-Khattab and he said, double what I have. I want at least double the 8,000 men that I have with me and to be able to finish the mission to give you Egypt. And Umar ibn al-Khattab sent him 4,000 and four people, four and four. And he said, each one of these four is equal to 4,000, so here's your 8,000. So I'll send you 4,000 soldiers and four men, each one of them is worth 1,000 person, 1,000 soldier. And these people were Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, Hawariyu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the disciple of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the 10 that is given the glad tiding of paradise. And he was one of the fighters that just like Khalid ibn al-Walid, that were able to fight with both hands equally and direct their horses with their legs. He had an amazing powers to fight. We remember in Hunayn that the people of Hunayn were hiding behind a rock, and they were trying to protect themselves and fight, and they were asked, who is this and who is that? And once they saw Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, they said, this is time to flee. This is time to run away. So this is one of them, was Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. The other one was the one that Umar ibn al-Khattab would take from one place to wherever help is needed, he will take him. And that was Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Miqdad ibn al-Aswad was one of the most fearful and most heroic fighters of Islam. And the third one was Ubadah ibn al-Samit. And for Ubadah, there is a lot of things that we will talk about in the conquest of Egypt. And the fourth one was Musallamah ibn Mukhallad. And these four people, in the eyes of Umar ibn al-Khattab, were worth 4,000. And he sent them another 4,000. So now the force of Amr ibn al-As was about 12,000 fighters, or equal to about 16,000 fighters. And that's how they entered the Battle of Dinin. And what Amr ibn al-As did with his army in Dinin, now Dinin is at the banks of the Nile, of the river of the Nile. And what he did is he took part of his army and he hid it behind a mountain in that area called the Red Mountain. And then he took another area, another part of the army, and he did it, and he hid it close to the Nile River, and he started fighting with only one third of his army. And then when the fighting was at its peak, at the fiercest, he asked the people of the mountain to come. So all of a sudden, those Byzantine that thought they were already being defeated, they see the Muslim army doubled in number, although they're still fewer than the Byzantine, but they started retreating up to the Nile banks. And here's Amr ibn al-As asked the third part of the army to come out, the one at the Nile. And when the Byzantines saw that they are being surrounded, they started fleeing everywhere. And that's how Amr ibn al-As was able to conquer the battle of Dinin. And the Muslims were able to take advantage and continue their advance to Hisn Babylon, to the fortress of Babylon. Babylon was one of the most well-fortified places for the Byzantine. They had multiple areas on the way to protect Egypt, but this is the door to the west, and this is the door to the south. This is the gate that if you control this area at the foot of the delta, you pretty much control the delta of the Nile River, yet you control the south, what's south of the delta as well. So this was a very important and this area will defend everything again that is coming from the east that would be able to penetrate through the initial ports of defense. So around Babylon, Amr ibn al-As besieged this fortress for 7 months. This was a very long siege around Babylon. And he sent to Al-Muqawqis a messenger. He sent, after the long time, he said, let's negotiate with them. Let's send and talk to Al-Muqawqis, who is the head of the Coptic people. And Al-Muqawqis in turn started sending to Amr ibn al-As letters to try to start a negotiation. But this was not a surrender type of negotiation. This was psychological warfare at its best. And we will see that and how these negotiations went. And inshallah, we will spend some time about that. And forgive me for doing that, brothers and sisters. But this is important because during this negotiation, we will be able, inshallah, to understand the psychology and the faith and the strength of the Muslims that were on the battlefield. Because Amr ibn al-As did not direct the negotiation himself, he sent an ambassador for himself. The first letter goes from Al-Muqawqis to Amr ibn al-As. And he tells them, إِنَّكُمْ قَدْ وَلَجْتُمْ فِي بِلَادِنَا. You came into our land. وَأَلْحَحْتُمْ عَلَىٰ قِتَالِنَا. You've been so stubborn and persistent in fighting us. وَطَالَ مَقَامُكُمْ فِي أَرْضِنَا. And you already stayed too long in Egypt. He said that you already here in Egypt for too long. It's time for you to leave. وَإِنَّمَا أَنْتُمْ عُصْبَةٌ يَسِيرًا. There are only few of you. We see that there are not that many of you around here. This is, you know, basically 12,000 people. And he said, وَقَدْ أَظَلَّتْكُمْ الرُّومِ. He said, the Rome, our protectors, the Byzantine, he said, they are overshadowing you. There are so many of them. They are much more than you are. Of course, he knows the Coptic did not have an army, but he is telling the Muslims that we have the Byzantine that will fight you and basically kick you out of your land, of this land. وَقَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُمْ هَذَا النِّيلِ. And he said, you also have the river, our river against you, النيل. And they said, because he knew that Arab are people of the desert and they have no expertise in fighting on mud or in wetland or crossing rivers or fighting around rivers. He said that we have the Byzantine and the Nile against you. وَإِنَّمَا أَنْتُمْ أَسَارَ فِي أَيْدِينَا. He said, consider yourselves prisoners of war. He said, now it's time for you Muslims to consider yourself prisoners. فَأَرْسِلُوا إِلَيْنَا رِجَالًا مِنْكُمْ. Send us few men so we listen to them and we see. فَلَعَلَّهُ أَنْ يَأْتِ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ عَلَى مَا تُحِبُّونَ وَنُحِبُّ. He said, maybe that we will reach something that you would like and we would like, instead of humiliating you like we should. And then he said, قَبْلَ أَن تَغْشَاكُمْ جُمُوعَ الرُّومِ. Before the Byzantine get to you, فَلَا يَنْفَعُنَا الْكَلَامِ. Then negotiating would not matter. Then you will be basically wiped out. And he said, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ أَن تَنْدَمُوا. You will regret it if the fighting started. Then you Muslims will regret not taking my offer when the fighting starts, really the real fighting starts with the Roman. And then he said, send me some people to talk to. So this is really psychological warfare. He's telling them, you consider yourself prisoners of war, but maybe I can do something for you before the Byzantine wipe you out. That's the message that the Muqawqis sent to the Amr ibn al-As. And then he sent, the people that he sent with that letter, Amr ibn al-As said, let these people stay in our camp for about 2 to 3 nights. The Muqawqis expected his messengers to come back the same day. And they did not come back, the ones that were sent with this message. So he started asking, he said, could they have killed my messengers? Is that what these Muslims do? They killing messengers is a disgrace. It's not something, it's not honorable. It's like the diplomatic code of behavior today is those diplomatic missions you don't touch, whatever the situation is. And then Amr ibn al-As had a different plan. He said, take these messengers and let them blend in the camp. Let them see how we do things. Let them see how we treat each other. Let them see us. Let them see who they're dealing with. If they think they're only dealing with the 12,000 people, then they're mistaken. Let them see the strength of the Muslim army and the faith of the Muslim army. So, Amr ibn al-As, after 2 to 3 days, sent the messengers back to al-Muqawqas. And Muqawqas asked his messengers, how did you see them? What happened? And they said, رَأَيْنَا قَوْمًا. They said, we saw people, الْمَوْتُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ. They said, we saw people, that death is more preferable to them than life. They said, التَّوَاضُعُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الرِّفْعَةِ. Said, humility and humbleness is better to them than arrogance and pride. لَيْسَ لِأَحَدِهِمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا رَغْبَةٌ وَلَا نَهْمَةٌ. He said, none of one of them like this life, like this has any ambitions that are related to this life that we live in. They said, إِنَّمَا جُلُوسُهُمْ عَلَى التُّرَابِ. They sit on sand. وَأَكْلُهُمْ عَلَى رُكَبِهِمْ. They said, they eat on their knees. They sit down on their knees and they eat. Of course, the wealth of Egypt and the wealth of luxury of the Byzantine Empire, we all hear and know about. I mean, they have all these mansions and palaces and etc. And then they said, أَمِيرُهُمْ كَوَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. Their leaders, just like any of them. لَا يُعْرَفُ كَبِيرُهُمْ مِّنْ صَغِيرِهِمْ. Said, when we mingled among them, we could not tell who's the commander and who are the subjects. They're all with each other. They all talk to each other. They eat with each other. There is no hierarchy in the way they deal with each other. And they said, وَإِذَا حَضَرَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. When the salah comes, لَا يَتَخَلَّفُ مِّنْهُمْ أَحَدٍ. When the salah comes, all of them are praying. Not one of them is left behind. يَغْسِلُونَ أَطْرَافَهُمْ بِالْمَاءِ. They said they clean themselves with water. وَيَتَخَشَّعُونَ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. And they're really occupied with their salah. And then al-Muqawqas listened to that and he said, وَالَّذِي يُحْلَفُ بِهِ. He said, for the one that we give our oath and vows for, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَوْ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ اسْتَقْبَلُوا الْجِبَالَ لَأَزَالُوهَا. He said, those, if they want to move the mountain, they will move the mountain. If what you're telling me is true, nobody can fight these people. وَلَا يَقْوَى عَلَىٰ قِتَالِ هَؤُلَاءِ أَحَدٍ. He said, no one can fight these people. And then said, وَلَئِن لَوْ نَمْنَغْتَنِمْ صُلْحَهُمُ الْيَوْمِ وَهُمْ مَحْصُرُونَ بِهَذَا النِّيلِ لَن يُجِيبُونَنَا بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. He said, if we don't take advantage of their offering, their peace, their treaty today, then when they are victorious, we cannot force them to do anything of that is advantage to us. So that was the mission of al-Muqawqas, and that was what the effect of the mission was on al-Muqawqas, is he felt like things are not going to go well with these people, that if that's what their way of life is. Then Amr ibn al-As sent his own delegation to al-Muqawqas, and among them is one of the four people that Umar ibn al-Khattab sent to him, that is worth 1,000 person, and that was Ubadah ibn al-Samit. Ubadah ibn al-Samit was an Ansari, and he was black, he was dark, and he was short, and he was not a handsome man. He was short, small, and tiny in body, but he was one of the closest Sahaba to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a man that is worth 1,000 men in the eyes of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and that was the leader of the delegation to al-Muqawqas. So here comes Ubadah. And he was described as he was 10 ashbar tall. He's 10 hand length tall. He was only maybe about this tall. He was a very short man. That if you look at him, you don't get this leadership, you know, type of sense when he comes into the place. And Amr said, you go to the al-Muqawqas and you offer him three things. You offer him Islam, you offer him jizya, and you offer him war. And anything beyond these three, you do not have anything to give, because that's what Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar al-Khattab, told me to give. Everybody has one of three choices. They can either accept Islam, they become one of us. They either accept our protection and pay the protection tax, the jizya, or they have to fight us. There is no other way. And then when they walked into al-Muqawqas, al-Muqawqas looked at them and he said, نَحُ عَنِّي هَذَا الْأَسْوَدِ. He said, let this black man go away. فَإِنِّي أَهَابُ السُّودِ. He said, I don't like to look and I'm afraid. He said, I get afraid of black people. He said, let that black man go away. And they said, هذا الأسود. They said, this black man, أفضلنا رأيا وعلما. They said, he is the best of us, and he has the most knowledge, he has got the best knowledge among us. He is our leader. وهو سيدنا وخيرنا والمقدم علينا. They said, he is our master, he is our best man, he is the best man we have, and he is the one that is given the command over us. وإنا نرجع جميعا إلى قوله ورأيه. He said, we all obey this black man. That's what you have to deal with. So Al-Muqawqas said, وكيف رضيتم أن يكون هذا الأسود أفضلكم وإنما ينبغي أن يكون دونكم. He said, how did you accept that this black man? And we know that there is a lot of discrimination in Egypt among the Coptic and the Nubis, which were black from the south, from the Sudan today. And he said, how would you accept that this black man be your leader? And he should be your follower, he should be your servant. And they said, إِنَّهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ أَسْوَدَ اللَّوْنِ كَمَا تَرَى. He said, he is black as you can see. But وَإِنَّهُ أَفْضَلَنَا مِنْ أَفْضَلِنَا مَوْقِعًا. He said, he is one of the best because of what's in his head, because of what he knows, because of what his knowledge is, directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَيْسَ يُنْكَرُ السَّوَادُ فِينَا. And they said, being black, and this is what they said, said, being black is not of matter to us, and it is not something that anybody is be ashamed of. This is my brothers and sisters in the book of history, in the books of history. And they said, and then Al-Muqawqas said, تَقَدَّمْ يَا أَسْوَدْ. Black man, come forward. وكلمني برفق. And but talk to me softly. فإني أهاب السود. I'm not comfortable with black people, so you need to talk softly to me. And Ubadah came to him with all, subhanAllah, يعني, if any of us was Ubadah, he would be, but at this point, would be furious, would be boiling with anger of this type of treatment. Ubadah had a mission. He did not care what this man thought of him, his color. Oh, he had a mission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he came forward. He said, قَدْ سَمِعْتُ مَقَالَتَكْ. I heard what you say. I want to tell you something before I start. He said, إِنَّ مَنْ خَلَّفْتُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ وَرَائِي. He said, of the people that I left behind, the أَلْفَ رَجُلٍ أَسْوَدٍ. He said, there is 1,000 black people down there in that camp. كُلُّهُمْ مِثْلِي. All of them just like me. وَأَشَدُّ سَوَادًا مِثْلِي. More black than me. They are even darker than me. وَأَضْوَعُ مَنْظَرًا. And they said, they are just more, you know, you don't, when you look at them, you don't like them, just more than I do. He started to give him more of his medicine. And he said, وَلَوْ رَأَيْتَهُمْ. But if you see them, you would be more scared of them than you would be from me. He said, if you're scared from me, you would be more scared of these 1,000 that are there. وَقَدْ وَلَّيْتُ وَأَدْبَرَ شَبَابِ. He said, I'm only an old man. I'm not that young. But they're all back there are really young, and they're just ready to fight you. They're coming just to get you. And then he said, وَأَنِّي بِحَمْدُ اللَّهِ مَا أَهَابُ مِئَةَ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ عَدُوِّي. He said, with me being old, I'm afraid none of 100 of my enemies that come towards me. This is what Umar ibn al-Khattab saw in Ubadah ibn al-Samit when he sent in. He said, this man is worth 1,000 men. He said, if 100 of them with me, with my gray hair, I'm afraid none of them. وَكَذَلِكَ أَصْحَابِي. إِنَّمَا رَغْبَتُنَا وَبُغْيَتُنَا الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He said, our goal is al-jihad fi sabilillah, وَاتِّبَاعُ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, لَيْسَ غَزْوُنَا عَدُوُنَا مِمَّنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ لِرَغْبَةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا طَلَبًا لِلْاِسْتِكْثَارِ مِنْهَا. He said, we don't invade, we don't come on armies to get more of this dunya, to get the wealth of this earth. وَمَا يُبَالِي أَحَدُنَا. He said, none of us care. You, these people that you're talking about, these black soldiers that you did not like, he said, none of us care. أَكَانَ لَهُ قِنْطَارٌ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ أَمْ لَا يَمْلِكُ دِرْهَمًا. He said, if one of us had a mountain of gold, or he owned nothing, none of us would give darn about that. We don't care about any of that. He said, إِنَّ غَايَةَ أَحَدِنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. This is the psychology, this is the faith, the strength of the Muslim army. He said, that our goal of this dunya, أَكْلَةٌ نَأْكُلُهَا. He said, the food that we eat, we just want something that to keep us from being hungry. وَشَمْلَةٌ يَلْتَحِفُهَا. And a cover to sleep in at night. And then he said, فَإِنْ كَانَ أَحَدُنَا لَا يَمْلِكُ إِلَّا ذَلِكَ كَفَاهُ. If we have this, that's the wealth of this dunya. That's all we want of this dunya. And if we have the mountain of gold, وَإِنْ كَانَ لَعْلُدَ أَحَدِنَا قِطَارٌ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ أَنْفَقَهُ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, we would spend it in obedience in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, إِنَّ نَعِيمَ الدُّنْيَا لَيْسَ بِنَعِيمٍ وَرَخَاؤُهَا لَيْسَ بِرَخَاءٍ. He said, the pleasure of dunya is not a real pleasure. And the luxury of dunya is not the real luxury. The real luxury is in the hereafter. And then he said that, بِذَلِكَ أَمَرَنَا رَبُّنَا. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us and enjoined upon us. وَأَمَرَنَا بِهِ نَبِيُّنَا. This is what the Prophet, what our Prophet has taught us. صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And then he said, وَتَعَاهِدَ إِلَيْنَا أَلَّا تَكُونَ هِمَّةُ أَحَدِنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا يُمْسِكُ جُوعَتَهُ وَيَسْتُرُ عَوْرَتَهُ وَيَكُونُ هَمُّهُ وَشُغْلُهُ رِضَى رَبِّهِ وَلِقَاءَ عَدُوِّهِ. He said, the Prophet has told us and had taught us that we care none about this dunya except fighting our enemy and the pleasure of our Lord. Al-Muqawqas heard his speech, and he heard it through an interpreter. And then he looked at the people around him, and he said, in his own Coptic language, and he said, هَلْ سَمِعْتُمْ مِثْلَ كَلَامِ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ قَطْ. He said, have you ever heard speech like this? Have you ever heard anybody that say in words like this? لَقَدْ هِبْتُ مَنْظَرَهُ. He said, I was scared of his appearance. وَإِنَّ قَوْلَهُ لَأَهْيَبَ عِنْدِي مِنْ مَنْظَرَهُ. But his speech is scaring me more. That his speech is making me scared of what these people can do. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا وَأَصْحَابَهُ. This man and his companions, أَخْرَجَهُمُ اللَّهُ لِخَرَابِ الْأَرْضِ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent these people to correct the ruin of this earth, to fix the chaos on earth. And this is true. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions for. And then he said, وَمَا أَظُنُّ مُلْكَهُمْ إِلَّا سَيَغْلِبُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ كُلِّهَا inshaAllah. And he said, I would think that they will be victorious over this entire earth. And then he started his, now that's what he was telling his people, and without Ubadah knowing what he's saying. Then he addressed Ubadah, and he continued to continue with his psychological warfare. And he said, قَدْ سَمِعْتُ مَقَالَتَكَ وَمَا ذَكَرْتَ عَنْكَ وَعَنْ أَصْحَابِكَ. I heard what you said about you, your people, and all of that. And then he said, لَقَدْ تَوَجَّهَ إِلَيْنَا لِقِتَالِكُمْ مِنْ جَمْعِ الرُّومِ مَا لَا يُحْصَى عَدَدُ. He said, they're coming to fight you of the Rome, of the Byzantine, countless army. That you will be armies that you cannot count. قَوْمٌ مَعْرُوفُونَ بِالنَّجْدَةِ وَالشِّدَّةِ. He said, people that are chosen to fight you, that are known of their fierce fighting and their bravery. And then he said, وَإِنَّا لَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّكُمْ لَنْ تَقْوَ عَلَيْكُمْ. We know that you cannot fight these people. We know that you cannot defeat these people. And he said, وَلَقَدْ أَقَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ أَظْهُورِنَا أَشْهُرًا. You have been around this fortress for months. وَأَنْتُمْ فِي ضِيقٍ وَشِدَّةٍ. And we know that you're hungry and you're tired. He's talking to Ubadah. He said, وَنَحْنُ نَرِقُّ عَلَيْكُمْ. We just are having some mercy on you. We feel for you. We have some sympathy on you. And then he said, وَتَطِيبُ أَنفُسَنَا أَن نُصَالِحَكُمْ. Of course, he's trembling with fear. He knows that he cannot fight them, but he's playing them, trying to see what would work. He said, but I think I will offer you something. He said, every man of you will get 2 dinar. وَلِأَمِيرِكُمْ 100, and for your leader 100. وَلِخَلِيفَتِكُمْ 1000. He said, for your khalifa, Umar, we'll give him 1000. Dinar, golden dinar. فَتَقْبَضُونَهَا وَتَنْصَرِفُونَ إِلَى بِلَادِكُمْ. He said, you get the money and you leave. قَبْلَ أَنْ يَغْشَاكُمْ مَا لَا قُوَّةَ لَكُمْ بِهِ. Before that, what comes to you is something that you cannot fight and you cannot defeat. Ubadah felt like the man is not listening to him well. He said, يَا هَذَا لَا تَغُرَّنَّ نَفْسَكَ وَبِأَصْحَابِكَ. He said, don't be arrogant, don't be proud of you or your allies, the Byzantine. He said, فَلَعَمْرِي, don't make me scared with the numbers or the strength of the Byzantine. He said, أَمَا تَخَوِفُنَا بِهِ مِنْ جَمْعِ الرُّومِ وَعَدَدِهِمْ. He said, we don't care about the number, we don't care about the strength. فَلَعَمْرِي مَا بِهَذَا الَّذِي تُخَوِّفُنَا بِهِ وَلَا بِالَّذِي يَكْسِرُنَا عَمَّا نَحْنُ فِيهِ. He said, this is not something that will turn us away from this. He said, إِنْ كَانَ مَا قُلْتُمْ حَقًّا, if that's truly what you're saying, فَهَذَا وَاللَّهِ أَرْغَبُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي قِتَالِهِمْ. He said, you are making me even more keen on fighting them. You're making me loving this more, wanting me to wait for the battle more, if they're really, truly better than the ones we already been fighting, because those ones did not hold up very good. He said, then I'm looking forward towards the next battle. He said, لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ أَعْذَرَ عِنْدَ رَبِّنَا إِذَا قَدِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ. He said, when we fight fearfully, that is better for us when we come and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is more reward in a fiercer battle, in a more difficult battle. He said, that's great, but I cannot wait for that battle. وَإِنْ قُتِلْنَا عَنْ آخِرِنَا. He said, if we were wiped out, if all of us were killed, كَانَ أَمْكَنَ لَنَا فِي رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ وَجَنَّتِهِ. If we were killed, then we would get higher degrees in paradise among the martyrs. So what are you trying to scare me with? You're just making me more eager. You're just making me long to this battle. And then he said, إِنَّا مِنْكُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ عَلَى إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. I will wait for this battle because we will get one of two things. Either martyrdom or victory. There is no other solution. And then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qala lana. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in his book, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, and this is in Al-Baqarah 249, he said, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ. How many small group of people, small group of fighters, غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً, defeated a big group of fighters or big army, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, with the grace and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah with those who are patient and they are endurant in the battle. And then he said, وَقَدْ إِسْتَوْدَعَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَّا رَبَّهُ أَهْلَهُ وَوَلَدَهُ. He said, we have given our children and our families to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be cared with, and we are ready for this fight. Then he gave him his three choices. He said, you either come to Islam, and that is the only religion that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you, and if you do that, then you become our brother. Then you become, your entire Qubtic nation become our brothers and sisters in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ سَعِدْتُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And you will get the pleasure of dunya and the pleasure of the hereafter. And he said, وَإِنْ أَبَيْتُمْ. But if you refuse and you want only the jizya, you want the tax, then you give us the tax. You give us the jizya for protection. عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. When you are subdued to us after giving that tax, then we will treat you well with something that will give you pleasure, that you will be pleased and satisfied with, and something that we will be satisfied with. And then he said, وَنُقَاتِلُ عَنْكُمْ. And we will protect you and defend you. And then we will protect your money. Said, anybody that want to take any of your land, any of your families, or any of your money, we will fight them and protect you according to this treaty. And then said, and if you do not want any of these, then we will delay our judgment, I'll give our judgment to the sword until the last of us die, or we are victorious with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muqawqas said, هَذَا مِمَّا لَا يَكُونُ أَبَدًا. He said, that will never happen. You want us to be your servants? You want us to work and give you the money, the tax? And he said, عُبَادَ هَذَا ذَاك. That's it. That's what I have. And Muqawqas said, give me a fourth option. Ubadah said, I have only three choices given to me, and that's all you're going to get. And that's all I can offer you. And then Al-Muqawqas looked again at his people, at his bishops and at his counselors, and he said, I suggest to you that we do not go into their religion, that do not accept their religion, and we will not leave the religion of the Messiah, the Messiah, alayhi salam. And then he said, fighting them, I don't think we can fight them. You heard who they are, and you go, the messengers went and saw how they deal with each other, and you heard their determination, and I don't think we can stand to their fighting. So what do you want to do? And people said, well, we will not surrender to them and we will not give them any jizya. So Ubad ibn Samit went back and he told Umar, Amr ibn al-As, that there is no other solution left but to fight against this Muqawqis army. And the Battle of Bab al-Yawn started after Ubadah ibn Samit negotiated with al-Muqawqis, and the battle revealed that the Muslims, with the grace of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, were victorious. And the rest of the Byzantine fighters fled to Alexandria and on the fortress from Babylon to Alexandria. Amr ibn al-As stayed in Babylon for several months until the army rest and regroup after their long walk from Jerusalem to Babylon. And remember, every siege would take several months. These were not easy battles. They were not a fast advancement into Egypt. So Amr ibn al-As decided that his army should rest before they advance into Alexandria. And Alexandria was the second city after Constantinople in the Byzantine Empire. This was the importance of Alexandria. So they rested in Babylon, and many of the Coptic people of Babylon became their allies. And they started giving the Muslims a lot of intelligence and a lot of advice about how to advance to Alexandria and how to fight the Byzantines. So Amr ibn al-As started marching after the orders came from the Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab, that now you should go on and take Alexandria, the second city of the Byzantine Empire after Constantinople. And Alexandria at that time was the number one commercial capital of the world. The trade city of the world was at that time Alexandria. So it was a very important center of commerce for the Byzantine Empire. And Heraclius himself said, لَإِنْ ظَهَرَ الْعَرَبُ عَلَى الْإِسْكَنْدَرِيَّةِ لَكَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ قِطَاعُ مُلْكِ الرُّومِ وَهَلَاكِهِمْ. Heraclius said that if the Arabs were able to control Alexandria, their kingdom would be demolished. Then our influence will be completely damaged. And what Heraclius wanted to do is to lead an army through the sea. Now, Byzantium had complete dominance on the navy, on the sea at that time. And this was not a battlefield where Arabs knew how to do anything at that time in the sea. So he wanted to lead a complete fleet to Alexandria himself to protect this important port of his kingdom. And as he was ready to cross the Mediterranean with his fleet, he dies. Heraclius, after leaving Syria and getting ready to go back to fight the Muslims in Alexandria, he dies. After him, he had two children, Heraclius II and Constantine, the one that wanted to marry Armanusa. And they both were, he did not have a clear heir to the throne. So chaos started happening in the Byzantine, and the army did not move. And this is when, with the grace, with the pleasure, help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Muslim army. Martina was the wife of Heraclius, and she was the mother of Heraclius II. And she wanted her son to get the throne, while Constantine was actually older, and he wanted to get the throne. And Constantine was killed in a mysterious way. And the accused of that was Martina. So there was a lot of conflict in the Byzantine Empire at that time. And just to make a long story short, the army did not move on to Alexandria. Alexandria was protected naturally from the north with the sea, with the Mediterranean Sea. It was protected from the east with the one of the branches of the delta of the Nile River, and there was a canal to the west of Alexandria. So their only way to get from the south and then get Alexandria from the east. And there was only one way to get into Alexandria. And there was a big battle between Babylon and Alexandria that happened in the 19th year after Hijra, and it's called the Battle of Keryon. And this battle is very poorly reported in history. There's only few lines in history, but from these few lines we know it was a very important battle before Muslims got to Alexandria on the way from Babylon to Alexandria. So people of Alexandria were besieged, and the Muslim army marched from Babylon, as we said, and that took a long time to get to Alexandria, and the siege of Alexandria lasted for 9 months. That is the longest siege of Egypt at that time. And Amr ibn al-As started having a lot of anxiety, and subhanAllah, his faith was not shaken, but he wanted to spare his army the distress on the walls of Alexandria. So he started looking. And this is how Muslims look into where is the weakness. He said, there's not only few of us. He did not care how many the numbers were, how strong the army is. He walked out and into the army, and he received a letter from Umar ibn Khattab saying, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَقَدْ عَجِبْتُ لِإِبْطَائِكُمْ عَنْ فَتْحِ مِصْرِ إِنَّكُمْ تُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ مِنْذُ سَنَتَيْنَ. He said, Umar ibn Khattab said, you have been fighting in Egypt for 2 years, and you have still not conquered Egypt. And then he said, I know where the problem is, Umar ibn Khattab. He said, ذَلِكَ لِمَا أَحْدَثْتُمْ. It's because of your sins. That's why it's taken you too long. وَأَحْبَبْتُمْ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Because you are loving the dunya now. You started getting taken with the love of dunya. He said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى لَا يَنْصِرُ قَوْمًا يَنْصِرُ قَوْمًا إِلَّا بِصِدْقِ نِيَّاتِهِمْ. He said, your true and strong intentions and pure intention to Allah, that's your key for victory. And then he said to Amr ibn al-As, I gave you 4 people. وَأَعْلَمْتُكَ أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْهُمْ مَقَامَ أَلْفٍ. I gave you 4 my best people, and I told you each one of them is worth 1,000 of them. إِلَّا أَن يَكُونَ قَدْ غَيَّرَهُمْ مَا قَدْ غَيَّرَكَ. He said, unless they have changed like the rest of you have changed. He said, these are people who care less about the dunya. So what's going on? Why is it taking you so long? And then he said, فَإِنْ أَتَاكَ كِتَابِ هَذَا فَاخْطُبْ فِي النَّاسِ. When my letter come to you, then go tell the people what I told you. So Amr ibn al-As comes up, and he brought these 4 people and he put them in front of the army, and he said, put these 4 people in front of the army and fight on the day of the Jum'ah. Because on the day of the Jum'ah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon Muslims. And then he said, it is the time where answering of prayer. And ask people to make wudu before their battle. Let them go to the battlefield with wudu. And then ask them to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for victory. He said, wa alaykum salam. He said, your problem is in this sins that you have accumulating from the love of dunya, from liking what you see of the wealth. So the Ubadah ibn Samit became, Amr ibn al-As gave Ubadah ibn Samit the banner to lead the battle, and the battle of Alexandria started. And that was, according to most accounts, on the 20th year of Hijrah. It's probably 642 AD CE. And the Battle of Alexandria was favorably into the Muslim side. And with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the walls of Alexandria fell to Muslims. And with graciousness, Amr ibn al-As did not treat the people of Alexandria as defeaters. He gave them the same treaty that the people of Babylon got. And he made them the people of Dhimma. He gave them protection, and then he took from them the jizya, the tax, although they chose war. And according to that time, they should be enslaved, and they should not have any freedom of getting that, but he gave them their freedom for giving the tax for Muslims. After that, Amr ibn al-As went back. And this is just to recap Amr ibn al-As' march onto Egypt as he went from Jerusalem, and he went on the eastern banks of the Nile. Then he crossed at Babylon and he went up to Alexandria. And that's how this area was controlled. After that, Amr ibn al-As returned. And he wanted to make Alexandria his capital. So he sent a letter to Umar ibn al-Khattab and asking Umar ibn al-Khattab to come to take Alexandria and to settle his armies in Alexandria. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said, don't stay there. Don't let the bulk of the Muslim army stay in Alexandria. Do not leave body of water between me and you. He said, I cannot send you help. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him victory, but this is Islam. You take the reason, you do what you want, you can, and then you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, there are only few of you, and there is a body of water between you and me. So if the protection of Barqa and Libya wanted to attack you, and you are defeated in this area, I cannot send you help fast. He said, do not let a body of water come between you and me. So Umar ibn al-As withdrawn, and he went to an area where his tent was on the eastern shore, on the eastern bank of the Nile. And his tent was called Al-Fustat. The Fustat in Arabic means the big tent. And in that area of the tent, Amr ibn al-As started planning his city. A city close to Memphis, the old city of the capital of Egypt, and Heliopolis, which is one of the important cities of Egypt. And in that area, he set a new masjid called Masjid Amr ibn al-As. And that area grew to become Cairo, to become Al-Qahira. And it used to be called Al-Fustat until the time of the Fatimi and later on. And it became the Cairo, it became Al-Qahira in Arabic. And Amr ibn al-As became the first builder of that great Muslim capital, Al-Qahira, who has today, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1,000 mi'dana, 1,000 minara, to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. After that, the Fustat has been established, and started on the eastern. Now we know, people from Egypt know it's on both banks of the Nile River. And then Amr ibn al-As started moving to take the last strongholds of the Byzantine in North Africa, which was the city of Barqa, which is today an area of Libya at this area. And then later on, Barqa surrendered without fighting. Then he moved on to Tripoli, or Trablus, al-Gharb, as it's called today, which is the capital of today's Libya. And he was besieged for several months. But then the Muslims got intelligence that it's easy access from the sea. So actually Muslim army sneaked from the sea, and once the Byzantine army saw Muslims coming into the city, they surrendered, and Tripoli or Trablus surrendered, and Amr ibn al-As called upon Umar ibn al-Khattab and said, there is still more land. There is still Tunisia. There is still Algeria. There is still Morocco. There is more land. So I want to move on. I want to advance ahead. Well, him and his 12,000 men. That's it. Less than 12,000, because he would leave people to guard the territories that he was in. So Umar ibn al-Khattab said, no, stop there. You stop your advance in Trablus, and this is as far west as the Muslim territories advanced on the day of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Umar ibn al-Khattab had every intention to advance further, but he said, we have to regroup. And we have to establish our protection. And with the alhamdulillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the entire Byzantine Empire has been wiped out of North Africa. And later on, that becomes the prelude to the rest of the North African conquest, and then into the Spanish, into the advancement into Spain on the days of the Umayyad Khilafah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this to the Muslims, and we saw the story and how historians reported the conquest of Egypt. We have to stop here in about a minute or two to Adhan al-Isha and Salat al-Isha. We will, inshallah, continue on next session. I wanted just to give you a little historical advance here. As this going on, the conquest of the East were going on at the same time. We're just trying to choose one area to study, and I thought that the conquest of Egypt would follow naturally the conquest of Philistine. May Allah return it to the Muslims. Because it is the same conqueror, it's the same Fatih, it's the same leader, Amr ibn al-As, him and his Sahaba and his companions. So inshallah, we will start a new session next weekend with the new leaders. There are going to be a lot of new names and a new front on the east, where one of the largest superpowers that the ancient world known, Persia, will be forever no more, will be completely wiped out from the name, from the face of the earth by the advancement of the Muslim army. And I mean by wiped out, not murdered and killed and slaughtered, but given the freedom to choose Islam, as most people of the Persian Empire chose, and became the areas of Persia and advanced into Pakistan and Afghanistan and northern India today, all became one of the strongest holds of Islam today. Walhamdulillah. قولوا قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.